gente, espero que desde donde nos escuchen estén bien y que les vaya de maravilla. What's good, my people? I hope y'all are doing amazing and that you've enjoyed our first two episodes of season two. If you haven't listened yet, make sure you listen and leave us your feedback, please. We could use it. Tonight, I will host this show sola. My co-host is on her way to be with her family. Her abuelita has transitioned onto the spiritual world. Dawn Marie is with us in spirit, and we send her lots of love, strength, and prayers during this time of grief. But I'm not alone. Virtually here with us is an alumni and marriage and family associate, Mary. Hey, Mary.
Hey, how are you?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
I graduated from Pepperdine 2017 with my master's in clinical psychology from the Aliento program as well. I've been an MFT associate for about a year and a half now.
Nice. And what population are you working with?
I started working now with the TAE population, transitional aged youth. Right now I'm working with kids.
All right, awesome. Well, thank you, Mary, for taking time to have this discussion with us. We are discussing disordered eating with Mary because the Latinx community has been underrepresented in the eating disorder community. Unfortunately, they have been primarily left out of eating disorder research studies, which has further perpetuated the false misbelief that Latinos are immune to eating disorders. Pues como la comida es parte de nuestra comunidad, ya va, ¿no? Additionally, the media continues to focus on the correlation between Caucasian women and eating disorders, further misrepresenting the true statistics. When you hear the word disordered eating, what comes to your mind? Most likely a white woman from a wealthy background. Disordered eating research historically left us women of color out, which have painted a picture that our communities don't experience such thing.
Yeah, so I definitely agree. I know sometimes there's a lot of documentaries, there's a lot of YouTube videos, there's a lot of social media representation around disordered eating and eating disorders. However, like you said, it really does tend to focus around white women, and not all social media representation is good representation if it doesn't represent women of color or other populations.
That's very true. Yeah, so why don't you tell us a little bit about your experience with it?
Yeah, so that's a little scary. I was, and this I struggle with because I don't even remember when it started. I mean, I could say college because that's when it actually started. But then again, going back and maybe middle school when I started exercising because I thought I would, wanted to burn calories, or maybe it was high school when I joined sports and I did it more efficiently, or maybe it was elementary when I started seeing my aunts talking about dietas and all the different types of diets that they were going under, or when my mom started talking about fajas. So it's really hard to pinpoint the moment when it started.
Yeah. Well, that brings me to something. So, if we're talking about like the role of food with our cultures, in the Latinx culture, mealtime represents more than just a time to eat, right? Meals are a social gathering with the food itself representing abundance and hospitality. Representando a la plática de la comida, ya ven que en nuestra cultura la comida representa más que solo un tiempo de comer. La comida es una reunión social como abundancia y hospitalidad. Portions tend to be large and eating in excess is seen as a norm, not viewed as binge eating. Love is often shown through food and women are raised to learn how to cook and take care of their household, which means you don't eat or say you're full, then abuelita or your tías or even your mom's feelings get hurt, right?
Te van a servir más.
I know. So oftentimes we end up eating because we feel guilty. And that right there is a recipe for developing eating habits that can cause disordered eating. Las porciones siempre son grandes. No les podemos decir no a nuestras abuelitas o tías. El amor se enseña con la comida y como a las mujeres se les enseña a ser cuidadosas, nos empanzamos hasta que esté bien llenita la pancita. Mary, why don't you tell us a little bit of what that was like with your family, and maybe starting with your childhood, like you said, like you really don't know where it started, but thinking back, what are some of the experiences that you can think of that tied to this?
Ooh, okay, so there's this one specific memory that I remember. And this ties into other things as well. But going on field trips, I would always take my food. So whatever my mom made, and then I would eat whatever the school gave me. Not because I was going to eat both lunches, but because I wanted to bring one home. So I remember one time I was really upset because if we were going on a field trip and we brought lunch, our own lunch, we were not allowed to get the school lunch. But I remember crying. I was around 8 years old. I remember crying because I couldn't get the second lunch, the school lunch. And I remember my teacher had to come over and talk to me, like, why, like, Mary, if you bring your home lunch, no te vamos a dar el lonche de la escuela. But I just remember thinking that it was such a big deal that I wasn't going to get an extra lunch. I don't remember why.
Yeah, 'cause we're just kind of accustomed to like food. But it's weird because in our culture, it's like we're encouraged to overeat, but then we're discouraged to be fat
Yeah, to gain weight.
or to gain weight, in other words, 'cause I mean, relating to that topic, like my nickname going up was Gordis. And so I know que era de cariño in a sense, like everybody called me Gordis because I'm such a foodie. But I know a part of them were like, oh, like you're gaining weight or you eat too much. But it was, you can never get up and not finish your plate because dare you say you were full. That wasn't gonna slide. So for those of you listening who have that family member who constantly critiques your body every holiday or each time they see you, it usually goes like, "Hey, mija, ay, mija, ¿cómo estás engordando?" Or, "You don't need, hon. No comes. Estás bien flaca." What our loved ones are blind to is how those statements mess with our person and like our physique, Algunos individuos se nos hace difícil escuchar esas críticas y no nos cae bien mentalmente y nos puede llevar a dismorfia corporal o hábitos de alimentación que no son buenos. Too much of this critique may lead to body dysmorphia and or disordered eating habits. Do you remember anything of that growing up that you can think of? Did you have nicknames?
I had flaca and I had esqueleto. But then around puberty, which is when girls start to gain weight, it stopped and it was made a point that, oh, you're ya no eres, ya no estás flaca como antes estabas. But in my head, now realizing like, yeah, it was puberty, I was supposed to gain weight. But I wanted to go back to that. I wanted, and at 10 years old, I knew that I wanted to go back to that.
Yeah.
So I remember that's when comments started around puberty. And sometimes it felt uncomfortable in a way that I didn't know how to describe. No sabía cómo describir cómo me hacía sentir incómoda esos comentarios, but and it was usually women that they meant well. I know that they meant well. But it felt uncomfortable to be talking about my hips, to be talking about, the fact that I'm embarneciendo. I don't know if you've ever heard that term.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, and it felt odd.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. When I was younger, Gordis didn't affect me. Like, I was young and, I remember like my stepdad would be like, ándale gorda, cómete or agarra otra tortilla or cómete otro taco. And I didn't feel like it was wrong. I felt that kind of like you said, like that discomfort, like why am I the one they call gordis? But I didn't see anything wrong with it. Like I knew that it was the cariño, but as I got older, middle school, hitting puberty as well, like I remember telling my mom, like, Ma, no me digas así, like, and she'd be like, ay, amor, es de cariño, or, but then I think you start paying more attention to your body and your image what you see in the mirror, that it's like, dang, like, this actually kind of hurts me and it kind of offends me.
And definitely, I remember I was a big reader when I was a little kid, so I remember reading that kids that with a higher body fat percentage go through puberty earlier, and I was reading this as a 10-year-old, so obviously I didn't want to go to puberty. So I do remember at one point cutting back on food because of that, because I didn't want to go to pu through puberty. But that was, now thinking about that, it's sad. It's sad that I wanted to not eat as much because of stuff that was going to happen to me, regardless of anything.
Yeah, I definitely didn't know that fact when I was 10, or else I probably would have been
And
freaked
honestly, I
out.
don't even know if it's a fact or not. It's just something that I read as an impressionable 10-year-old.
All right. So, also, even though our cultura does its best to continue our family recipes and continue what has been passed on through this seasoning of our ancestors, the ceremonial ways of how we used to cook our food, prepare our food, shared our food, and ate our food was ripped away during the time of colonization. Today, food isn't perceived as a way to heal and nourish our bodies. The way society has developed and set up our lives, many are doing their best just to get by. Buy on time, and sometimes food isn't eaten due to high amounts of stress or because we just didn't have time for it. For example, today I totally forgot to eat lunch because I was working and I got home like, why am I so hungry? I didn't have lunch. So we've lost so much. What's lost is the understanding that food is consumed for ourselves to take care of ourselves, and if consumed right, it can obviously decrease stress. How, you might ask, if our bodies are nourished with the basic needs, thinking Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which we will post on our IG, once we meet the basic needs to support our body's functionality, that frees up space in our head to think about ways we can problem solve around other stressors in our lives. But eating and stress can also cause emotional eating. That was one of my personal eating issues that I had. I am definitely an emotional eater. I've worked a lot on it. I've gone through therapy, and that has came up as one of my ways of how I deal with stress. But I mean, it can go either way. You don't eat or you do eat. Can you tell us a little bit about your story?
I think for me it was the other way around. And I like what you said about the way that we nourish our bodies is definitely connected to the way that we nourish our minds. Si no comemos bien, no vamos a estar bien, no vamos a pensar bien. We're not going to do our schoolwork. Nothing else is going to come out right. If we don't feed ourselves, we're definitely not feeding our minds either. But yeah, I feel like when there is a sense of a loss of control, you want to control it in other ways, whatever that may be, either eating less or eating more. I remember it was maybe I was 9, 20. So I wanted to be fit. And what in my 20-year-old mind, that meant running like 6 to 10 miles every day. and eating a set amount of calories that was under what I was supposed to be eating. A little side note, I don't like talking about calories or numbers anymore because that does bring back memories for me, or triggers, and for other people too. So it's not really about the number or about the calories that I ate or the weight, how much I weighed. That's important, but the feelings associated with it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does make sense.
Yeah, so I was eating enough for someone that wasn't exercising. Almost okay. enough, not even. But not enough to nourish my body or the work that I was doing. Y luego me acuerdo that I was getting a lot of injuries with my running. A lot of injuries. And I kept like thinking like my form is good, everything is good, I have the right shoes, I have everything. But obviamente si no me estaba, I wasn't eating.
No te estabas alimentando, entonces el cuerpo no podía.
Yeah, and my grades at that time, they were bad. They were so bad. My friendships, they weren't good. I wasn't being a good friend. And that's something that I have had to come to terms with, that I wasn't a good friend at that time. I was focused on me and on me only. Yeah, so that is something that is a big regret.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah.
What would you say led you to come along this decision, I guess, that you wanted to be fit? Did the media shape any, did it have any like input in that decision, or how did you come across this desire?
I think at one point I did make a purposeful decision that this was something that I was going to do. And so I joined cross country. I wasn't good at it, but I joined because I liked it in high school. And I saw that all of the girls were very thin. In my head, I wanted to be like them because I wanted to be faster like them, because I wanted to be liked like they were, popular like they were. And I was a very shy, introverted kid. So I equated, you know, popularity and being liked to thinness, being thin. And I remember that was my first, like, I need to diet. I didn't go through with it because I was so hungry after practice. But I remember thinking that was a bad thing. I would go home and eat, you know, like 10, 12 tacos, but I had just ran 12 miles, so that was good. But as a 15-year-old, you know, I wasn't thinking that. I was seeing all my teammates that were, you know, thin, and they were running really good. And I was running slow, pero porque I had just joined, you know, but I didn't see it that way. And then when I graduated, I was like, okay, I'm going to start all new in college. I'm going to go to Northern California. It's going to be far away from my parents. It's going to be different. I'm not going to be shy anymore. But obviamente, you know, I'm still a shy kid.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted, I made that purposeful decision to lose weight.
So it was the one thing you kind of had.
Yeah, I feel, you know, I was so shy. I remember I wouldn't even look at people in the eyes. Cuando me decían hola, it was hard for me to interact because I was 17 and I was, you know, in a new school. It was scary. It was really scary.
Yeah.
So my image of everything is going to be different, no pasó. So I was like, okay, if I can't talk to people the way I wanted to, then maybe if I lose weight, they'll talk to me. But like I said, it doesn't make any sense now, but as a teenager, it made sense.
Yeah, it made sense. Well, I mean, it made sense to you, right? Yeah. That's usually how things happen. When did you, do you know, or can you remember that you had like a moment of realization, like I have a problem or I have an eating disorder, or when did Did you have that discovery, and was there any barriers that you face with treatments? I mean, especially in our community.
It was slow. I think I came to the realization that I wanted to go into therapy because of my shyness, not so much because of the eating. I think the eating came as a part of the shyness, or maybe it was entrelazado. But I remember it was just a lot of little realizations or comments that my friends made, or concerned comments, or concerned comments that my mom made. But it was a slow realization. I don't think it was just that one moment. But I do remember going into CAPS, which was the psychological services, because I was so shy and because I wanted to change that something about that. But see, I remember there was like three, four psychologists that I saw that I would start talking about it, and then they would shift the focus back to, something else. O como que no lo, I didn't feel that they were taking it seriously. Not just the ED, but in general, I didn't feel like I was taken seriously.
Yeah, and could it be that they didn't think you had a problem or?
And I, because I, when I started talking about it, like I said, I was never, maybe there was a couple of months that I was underweight, but I was never, super underweight. Y para clasificar, under certain eating disorders in the DSM, there does have to be a certain weight,
Yeah.
which I find, honestly, it's just stupid, because there are tons of kids, and like, there's a lot of POC that do center a lot around food. Our communities do center around food that are never going to be underweight.
Yeah, that's very, very true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had eating disorder issues myself. I was really, well, what I considered chubby. Now that I look back at high school pictures, I'm
Right?
like,
Yeah.
girl, you were skinny.
Mm-hmm.
I also ran track and I danced and I ran cross country. So I ran both track, cross country, and I really was not overweight, but like in relation to your story, in comparison to your story, same thing. I saw the other thin Caucasian girls were skinny and light, and they
Yeah.
can wear their little crop tops and
Yeah.
run, and I said, what am I doing wrong? So I actually would just started making myself throw up and not eating much, or eating until I felt so stuffed so that I can throw it all up. And it's gonna sound crazy, but I didn't even know what bulimia was. Like, that's how much it was not discussed in my family or in my circle of people until I had heard through the grapevine that there was a girl that went to our high school that was like severely bulimic and like ended up in the hospital. And then I went home and said, oh my God, that's what I have. But I was doing the action not knowing what it was even called, and that's how, disconnected I was from the knowledge of knowing what eating disorders were. There was just nothing in my community that taught me it, I guess.
Yeah, because eating disorders are broadcasted as something that white people have. No algo that a Latino girl is going to experience, or Latino boys too, because in sports, and I don't know about your experience, but in sports and high school sports especially too, there is a lot of restriction and monitoring and carbs and
And
going up
meeting
overweight.
weight,
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's very true. I mean, even sports after high school, I'm sure, but I do remember, I don't know why I always remember this, but I knew this boy that was in the wrestling team, and it was like, I think it was like 90 degrees that day or something. It was like really hot, and we were all like in the track area, and he was running in this sauna suit,
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, like, you're gonna pass out. And he's like, oh, I have to meet weight. Like, I have to meet weight by tomorrow. And he was just running and running and running. And he had to lose a couple pounds by his next meet, which was the following day.
Yeah.
And I always remember that because I was literally like concerned for him. Like, if I'm hot running in shorts and a tank top, he's definitely dying in that thing. And it just sucks because it was seen as a norm. It was like, oh, he's a wrestler. It's what he has to do to get there. And it's unfortunately, that happens with our youth because some people fall deep into this issue and it's hard to get out of it, not knowing what to do, you know? So, I mean, tell us about your story now. Now that you've, discovered this, how are you living now? How do you love the skin you're in? What are you doing different? What can you share about that?
Yeah, you know what? I was telling my boyfriend recently that I'm at the weight that I started. Like currently I'm at the weight that I started when I thought I was big and when I chose this option that I was going to, restrict purposefully. So if now looking at myself, I feel good about myself. I wish I could tell, my 20-year-old self, like, you're okay. But I feel that being back at this weight feels good. Like it's to me, it feels like you're over it. And maybe not completely. I feel like social media is still gonna impact the way I think, or siempre va a haber ese compañero o compañera en el trabajo que va a decir cosas about their own diet or about how they feel fat or about how they need to work out for that workout body. But I myself, I feel good. I don't count anymore. And that's a good thing. It took a while. I'm not gonna lie. It took a really long time to not count. I don't go on super long runs just because I want to eat later, which is also, there's a lot of people that do that. I'm gonna work out so that I can eat later. But it's taken me a long time. But I feel that having that good relationship with food, that sometimes you are gonna emotionally eat and it's okay. Sometimes you are gonna eat a little bit less because you want to eat a little bit more, and that's okay. Sometimes you are gonna eat because you feel sad or because you're angry, or sometimes you're not gonna eat because you feel sad and because you feel angry. But knowing that there's thoughts behind it and knowing how to cope with it and knowing that you're okay in your own body. But I think a lot of it had to do with self-esteem too.
Yeah, I think self-esteem always plays a role, but I like what you said about just knowing that this is who you are in your own body. This is you, and I still can relate. I'm not gonna sit here and be like, oh yeah, I'm over it. Like I still can relate. I'm still hard on myself sometimes, and I'm like, oh my God, I haven't lost weight, or I didn't get to work out as much as I wanted to this week. I actually enjoy working out. I try to go to the gym 4 or 5 days a week. It's kind of a stress relief for me. I don't feel I do it anymore for like, I gotta be so skinny, or even though I do still admit I am still hard on myself, I try more of having the thought of I'm doing this because I want to be healthy
Yeah, because you want
and
to
I
feel
want to be
good.
happy and I want to feel good. Yeah. And I think that's what's important, but it is a battle. It is something that we will always battle with because, like you said, friends, acquaintances, social media, it all takes a toll and does affect us in one way or another.
Yeah, and it's scary. I remember I went to a therapist that told me, you're never, eating disorders don't go away.
And they don't. I really do believe that.
And that was, I remember I left. Remember I left because I didn't want to. That was scary.
Yeah,
That
and it
was
is
scary to think
scary,
about
but I
that.
think, From what it sounds like, you've done such a great job at accepting, knowing, being in, realization of these issues that you have encountered and working with that. And like you said, you will have your days where you're gonna overeat, or you're not gonna eat enough, or you're gonna be hard on yourself. But as long as you are able to kind of bring yourself back to like, hey, I'm okay, you're okay, and it's okay to love yourself exactly how you look.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of emphasis on not just being perfect, but looking a certain way, which ironically seems to be the white way. My nose is never going to be small, and my skin is never going to be white. And I'm always going to have hips. My hair is always going to be, a little poofy, and that's fine. It's always going to have waves. It's always going to be black. But just struggling to fit into that white mold unintentionally.
Yeah, it is unintentionally. And we do it sometimes without even thinking it. I actually get a lot of crap because I like to dye my hair, and one of my favorite colors of dyeing my hair is blonde. Not like blonde, like blonde blonde, like bleach blonde, but I always put streaks in it in the summer, or like lighten it up. And I have had some people kind of give me crap, like,
But
oh,
that's
you're
what you
trying to
like.
Yeah, you're trying to be white, and I'm like, are you kidding? I'm as Mexican as they get. It's just hair. But then, it's kind of blonde looks good, or maybe we've been taught that, or maybe we just like it, you just maybe unconsciously, but I'm comfortable with who I am. I know exactly what I represent, but sometimes you do kind of let those little comments get to you, and you're like, am I trying to be blonde, or do I just like this color? So yeah, I definitely can relate to that. So to kind of close it up and stuff, do you have any messages for any individuals with disorder eating habits, people that might be struggling with that right now, or
Yeah,
anything you'd like to tell them?
I think for me it was about finding a good therapist. It took a while, and it just happened. I don't think it just happened to be, but it was a therapist, a Latino therapist. And it wasn't that we focused on the disordered eating, but it was that we focused on how I felt, on my experience of what I was going through. He was the one that connected me to the nutritionist and to the primary physician, and to the group. So before talking to him, it was just kind of, oh, okay, so what about this? What about this? Pero nunca era centrado en mi experiencia de lo que yo estaba experimentando. So I was, all I can say is just trying to find a good therapist is hard.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, and especially one that acknowledges your experience. That doesn't go strictly by the DSM, because that DSM is just honestly, yeah.
Westernized, in other words, whitewashed.
Oh yes. And especially research. I have been struggling to sit down and work on this research because it does trigger me. And that's so hard to say, because I know that it's so necessary. But at the same time, once I start writing, I start thinking about, all the things that I used to do that I don't like to think about sometimes. But I know it's necessary, and I know that there's not a lot of people out there that are doing, this work. I know I really like reading, what's her name? Naluna Positivity Pride. I like going on. I follow her on Instagram. And she's doing a lot of the work on this.
Yeah, she is.
But we need more people.
We do
We
need more
know.
people. We need more
Yeah.
voices. We need
Oh,
more
yeah.
leaders out there telling our girls, telling our boys, telling just our community that it's okay to be brown. It's okay to be light or
Yes.
dark or fat or skinny or
And ugly. It's okay to be
thicker.
ugly.
Yeah, it's okay, or it's but you're not even ugly, but you know, that idea of I don't look a certain way, so I must be ugly. I don't look a certain way, so I must be gorda. I don't look a certain way, so I must not be flaca.
Yeah.
It's okay to just be your brown, yellow, purple, black, whatever color self, and it's fine, you know. But you're right, there definitely has to be more voices out there.
When we do research, and I do want to touch on this, when people do research, it translates into treatment modalities y cómo las personas van a tratar when therapists start treating their clients. So theories and all treatment modalities are based upon this research. And if the research is biased, and if the research, only focuses on women of color, entonces la manera que los vamos a tratar a los muchachos no va a ser, it's not going to be the same. It's not going to
Right.
be adequate. The social media representation is not going to show that there are communities of color that have eating disorders. And I think that's the point, that because research is so biased and research is so prejudiced, that nada sale de ahí.
No, porque es como decir, no están diciendo nuestras historias, nuestras experiencias. Our voices aren't being represented through
At
that
all.
research. Yeah. Well, Mari, it has been super awesome having this conversation with you. I
Thank
don't know
you.
if you have any other messages for our listeners. We really do appreciate you being our guest today.
Thank
Unfortunately,
you.
our co-host Dawn Marie couldn't join us, but I'm sure once she hears it, she'll also enjoy the episode. And again, we send our love to Dawn Marie and her family.
Yes.
If there's anything else you want to say, Mari.
Yeah, I think, speaking about this and being asked to be a guest speaker, it was a little bit scary porque todavía da that imposter syndrome of, what do I have to say and what do I have to offer about this topic, So just kind of getting into my own head about, no, you know what, you have done work around this topic. You have worked with clients that have, thanked you. You have, written stuff, even though you've never put it out there. So, and I know that happens with a lot of our communities related to eating disorders, that no, you don't have this because you don't look like them. You don't have this, you're not really dealing with this issue because you don't look like you're dealing with this issue. So it just goes, back to the feeling like an imposter, feeling like you're not enough.
Right.
Well, I just want to say thank you, Kelsey, for having me here. It was really scary, but it was really good. I feel that opening up and talking about our experiences, really helps, young girls, young kids out there. So thank you.
Thank you. We really do appreciate you allowing yourself to be vulnerable and to open up to us and our listeners, and we really do, appreciate you sharing your story. And for me, it was a little, nerve-wracking kind of to have this conversation, especially with the things I've dealt with as a younger teenager. But it was a nice talk, and I do appreciate the space, and I'm glad that you were able to join us today. So there it is, mi gente. That was Mari with us, and thank you guys so much for being here with both of us. Again, it really does suck that Dawn Marie couldn't be here, but we hope that you enjoyed our episode. Continue to listen. We do have another one coming up soon, and we will be here. ain't going nowhere. So, also, like we've said before, and we definitely will say again, please give us your feedback, any thoughts, any ideas, any guests that you know that you might, think would be a good fit for our show. Let us know. Thank you. Bueno, mi gente, ya se nos fue Mari. Espero que hayan disfrutado del tiempo con ella y pues espero que estén listos por un poco de chisme. Again, we thank Mary for being here with us. We send our love to Dawn Marie and her family for not being able to be here with us. We hope she is doing all right through these tough times. I will be sharing the Chisme del Día all by myself. It's my show right now. So I hope you guys are ready for some chisme. All right, so hoy me gustaría solo darles un poco de detallitos interesantes como chisme. Today I'll be sharing just the little did you know facts with y'all. I know we talked about it in an episode before where we said we were going to try and kind of incorporate this stuff. So, did you know it takes 4 to 6 hours on average for food to leave the stomach after a meal? Longer if there was a lot of fat, less time if the meal was mostly liquid. Se tarda de 4 a 6 horas en promedio para que los alimentos salgan del estómago. Después de una comida, más tiempo si había mucha grasa, menos tiempo si la comida era principalmente líquida. So, ahí está, ya se la saben. No coman tan pesado antes de dormir. O cómanse lo que quieran. Also, did you know that turmeric that can be found in your kitchen or your local groceries can be beneficial when feeling bloated? También sabían que un ingrediente que puede ser encontrado en su cocina o en la tienda local puede ayudar con la inflamación. The rumor is that turmeric can help decrease and or even diminish bloating that can be caused from stress, our monthly gift from Mother Nature for women, or even the heaviness from our processed foods. Así es, mi gente. Se dice que la cúrcuma, y no sé si lo dije bien, es muy bueno para la inflamación, que pues claro puede ser causado por el estrés, el regalo de la naturaleza mensual que nos llega a las mujeres, o claro, la comida pasada procesada que en veces nos toca comer. Y allí les llega, mi gente, unos detallitos interesantes. Y por acabar, aunque es un poco pesado, me gustaría pedirles que cuando tengan un tiempecito recen por las víctimas del último masacre leado por el racismo, que dejó a 50 personas muertas. Y pues que hasta recen por los que atacaron, porque es un horror lo que ha llegado este nuevo nivel nacido del racismo. Dios quiera que pronto saquemos a este idiota de trompas, de su posición de liderazgo, porque no sé para ustedes, pero para mí es tan pesado ver lo que está pasando en nuestro mundo. Lastly, to end it, even though it is a bit heavy, I'd like to acknowledge the recent shooting and ask for thoughts and prayers for the lost lives. And honestly, and even for the attackers, because it's so horrible how much ugly this new age racism has brought to our lives and our society. Let's pray, y'all. Really just pray that this nightmare that this idiot has caused will hopefully sooner than later be over. Bueno, mi gente, otra vez, gracias por acompañarme, gracias por acompañarnos. Thank you all again for joining me today. Alone without Dawn Marie for joining us, the show, and we do appreciate all of you. We appreciate that you're listening. We do ask for your feedback, your thoughts, or simply for you just to share by word of mouth through your social media. Tell people about our show if you're enjoying it as much as we're enjoying recording it for you. We will be back soon. We have a couple more episodes planned for you, so stay tuned. Have a great rest of your day or evening. Bye.